Well, good morning, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for a special meeting of the Commission. I want to call that meeting to order. Okay, we have two items on the agenda for discussion. I do not have any opening comments. I'll check with my colleagues. Do you have any opening comments this morning, Randy?
I do not, thank you.
Brian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand today is the first day of school, so I'm wondering if Chairman Fedorchak got the kids to school on time.
Just don't go down that road too far, or you might see Chairman Fedorchak break up. I hate the first day of school. It's depressing, but it is life. So, yes, one of the children is still at home. They start tomorrow. He starts tomorrow, so he's enjoying a morning without his siblings.
So you left
siblings.
Nate or Sam at home alone?
Sam.
Fair enough.
You should broadcast that.
Oh, yeah, right. No, but your husband's there with the very big dog, right?
And neighbors who are very nosy.
The only reason I brought it up, Madam Chair, is I recall a few years ago when my daughter was still in school that you were regretting your kids going back to school, and I was looking forward to my daughter going back to college so I could have my nights of them coming in at midnight every night. So anyway.
Well, maybe I'll get there someday, but I'm not there yet, especially the first day of high school for my daughter.
Elizabeth.
So, yeah, well. Time goes quickly. Wow.
That's all I have, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, we'll go to the first item on the agenda, which is Mr. Culks this morning.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. I have one item, but item BK1. I move the Commission deem complete the application for Certificate of Site Compatibility and further move the Commission issue a Notice of Filing and Public Hearing in Glacier Ridge Wind Farm, LLC, Glacier Ridge Wind Farm Project, Barnes County, Siting Application, Case Number PU16539.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. The a public hearing for this case is scheduled for September 27th at 9 a.m. Central Time in the Vangstedt Auditorium, Valley City State University, 101 College Street, Southwest in Valley City, North Dakota. A little background. In July of this year, Glacier Ridge filed an application for a certificate of site compatibility concerning a proposed 300.15-megawatt Glacier Ridge wind farm consisting of up to 87 wind turbines and associated facilities in Barnes County. The issues that the law says we consider, basically, will the location operation of the proposed facility provide minimal adverse effects in the environment and the welfare of the citizens? I think the key word there is minimal, so we always strike that balance during the hearings. The second one, are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? And finally, third, will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continued system reliability and integrity and ensuring the energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion. So in a general sense, those are the three issues that the law says we consider. And, of course, the different selection criteria and policy criteria that we follow during the hearings is also one of the things. And the reason I highlight that is this is the biggest single application we've had for a wind farm with 300 megawatts of just one area. But I would say that with the 87 turbines, these are certainly going to be bigger than 3-point-something megawatt turbines. So you actually, the footprint itself won't be bigger than what we've seen before, but just the sheer megawatts that they're going to produce on this. And when I look forward to this hearing, we have an enclosed map, remember, the media that would like to look at it. But basically you're talking, northeast of the Valley City, west of Highway 32, south of Highway 26, so that quadrant running north and south. And I look forward to a good hearing. But one of the things that, we've had a lot of discussion over the years about wind farms and how they tie into the power grid. And this hearing, given the fact that just the 300 megawatts, there's not a clear path of how this is going to get to the energy markets. That's one of the things I know the company and the members are right here in the audience. I don't want to blindside people at the hearing, but I'm going to be asking a lot of questions about how this is going to tie into number three, where we ensure continued system reliability to the power grid. I'm certainly supportive of wind, and I think that I've approved more wind projects than any commissioner in history of North Dakota, so it's certainly pro all types of energy development. But this one, I'm going to spend a lot of time fleshing out just how this is going to get to the market, how you intend to ensure system reliability, and how it's going to tie in. And I don't see a transmission project tied into it. So hopefully that can be one of the issues that we flush out in the hearing and get it in the record, and we can continue to move through with the process. And I'd also say, too, the estimated cost of this, $375 million. And the last thing I would say is I would like to thank our staff, Julie Prescott and Zach and others, for their work in reviewing this. And the company, quite honestly, too. Had a lot of discussion. A lot of it, I guess, is my evolving preference on when we deem applications complete. Given the complexity of all projects, whether it's pipelines or power lines or wind farms, I tend to be more of we need the information in the front. So we're had this special meeting today where all the information that we believe we need at this time is in. So there's nothing pending. This application is deemed complete with all the files in there. So if someone wants to review it, it's all out there. And that's where we're having this special meeting so we can get this noticed in a timely manner to have the hearing on September 27th. So with that, I believe everything's in order, and I look forward to the hearing.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion?
I just want to comment just a little bit about the process. I think this is another good example of how our processes work. We're spending a lot of time talking about our processes lately, and this, I think, illustrates again. So here's an example of an upcoming hearing. It's 5 weeks away. This is our public notice of that. It goes out to all the appropriate newspapers for legal notice printing. And then we will follow it up with a news release, which we're not obligated to do, but in the interest of getting the public to attend and participate and share their comments, because this is the time for them to do that, we're sending that out. We will send that out now, and we will also send it out a week before the hearing to, again, remind the public, here's your chance to come and speak. This is the time. After the hearings are closed, it's too late. So I urge the members of the media to include that in their information as well, that the public, we're sincere in wanting to hear from the public. We always take their comments into play and into consideration, and they do make a difference in how the applications are reviewed and how they are ultimately permitted. So this is a great example of how that process works and has worked for years and will continue to work. It doesn't change. This is how we do it. And it's a very transparent process that allows for a lot of public input.
Do we have any further discussion?
When we talked about deeming this complete before and kind of held off on it, I mentioned the maps that, and I think at the time I said something to the effect that they're not as tiny and difficult to read as some that we've had that really caused us problems, but they're not that great. And so far I haven't seen anything really any better come. Now, I'm not going to not deem this complete. I mean, I have gone through this much more thoroughly than I had last time, and I think I'm getting it, but it's not easy. And for the public who doesn't deal with this stuff all the time, I still think it's a very big challenge. And so while I'm going to vote to deem this complete and set the hearing, I do hope that the company will look further. I brought with some maps from Oliver Wind 3, and I'll make sure that Julie Prescott knows which ones I'm referring to. And although it's not a requirement, I would just urge the company to think about making some better maps. If we get to that hearing, and I know the companies always seem to want to move along with these processes and have things go pretty quickly, if we get someone in there who's trying to explain to us some problem and we can't figure out what they're talking about because we're looking at these maps that have like a 4-mile by 6-mile area on them, it could hold things up a lot. And if there were bigger maps so that we can all be looking at the same thing and understand what someone who's testifying is talking about, it would certainly be helpful. So Julie will know what maps. I thought these were really good from Oliver Wind, and you can it's a aerial view. If someone's talking about a road from a certain house to a certain lake or something like that, you can see the road on there and see what they're talking about and the impact. And on these maps, you really can't.
You know, Randy, we've kind of gone back and forth with maps, and I think that you've done some good work in terms of finding which ones work the best. I think we should look at requiring certain maps so that it isn't an issue, and just offer the example or the model. It's too late for this one, but for future applications, let's just add it to the requirements so that we don't have to monkey around wasting our time and theirs and frustration level on maps that are not what we need. I think that the companies probably would like to meet our needs, and if they knew what they were and what we're expecting, and if we told them that in advance, they could probably do that. So I think it's time for us to provide that kind of example and a requirement in our application directions to them, so that it doesn't have to be kind of a frustration over and over. Would you be open to that type of a thing?
Yeah, we could make sure we're all on the same page as to what it is that we like, but I think that needs to be a future one, not in this particular case now. I don't want to hold this up anymore.
I do think that, though, if there's something that the company can look at that would be helpful, even, you know, that's still 5 weeks before the hearing, so that would give time to update or improve on the maps that they've provided. And I generally tend to think that they don't know what we're looking for, so they, you know, that's why it's all over the board. Some do it, everyone does it differently. So I think it's our responsibility to let them know and do a better job of communicating what we want. So,
okay. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I would just agree with that discussion. I remember when we talked about this before, we asked, you know, is there a certain scale, you know, so come out with the scale of what you prefer, the 1 to 50 or 1 to 25, and then that's what we ask, because otherwise if we just say we want something, we've got to give them the target so they can submit that we can go with. So I just want to add one more thing, too, that the Zach is out listening out there, but I've asked Zach to figure out the way that we can get the MISO resource adequacy study into this hearing. Because I'm going to ask some questions about that, because MISO, of course, is the RTO that operates in that part of the state, and I will ask some questions about that. So that's also the company just to look through that adequacy study, because I'll be asking some questions about right now MISO is long on power, and so I don't think they're going to be long forever. So but I'll be asking some questions about that based on the surveys, which change all the time. So just to give the company fair warning that that's something that we'll be talking about. And you know, the reason it's coming out here is just because, like I said, there's not a clear pathway to the market on this. So other than that, I just appreciate my colleague's support and look forward to a good hearing. We can perhaps talk about the logistics of the trip at a different time, but we know when we're going to start and where we're going to be.
Is there any further discussion? Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. That's it for your portfolio. All right, then the second matter is the FERC RP15-1022 Alliance Pipeline PSC comments/interventions. This special meeting concerns that case, and it may be discussed in an executive session. Why don't we do that, actually, because we're going to go into an executive session to talk about the next case because it's relating to a pending legal matter, and so we need to have some time to discuss it with our attorneys. So rather than keep you outside in the hallway, we'll just open up for questions now. That's a good idea, Brian. Thank you. So any questions from anybody, Bo or others, on the wind farm issue, really?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think that a lot of things very similar. I think the one thing that would be different about this one is just the number of megawatts that we're seeing for one single wind farm. Other than that, it probably the two big things is the size of it, the 300 megawatts, and also right now just the question of how they plan on getting this to the electric grid. Those are two things that we haven't seen before. But other than that, I think this looks very similar. That'd be my viewpoint. I don't know what my colleagues think, but that's probably it's very similar other than the size and how they're going to get this to market. This one is proposed to be 300 megawatts. Most of the ones we've cited have been individually 100 megawatts. There was one that was 200 megawatts. So this is a the scale of, I guess, a third more than what we usually would see.
And what are some of the issues with getting out
of the grid? Well, one of the things that we look at the criteria, we're going to go through all the environmental review, which we do in all the projects. We're going to go through some of the cultural review, which we do in all the projects. The one thing that in this project, I don't see a clear pathway to get it to the grid, where other wind farms, we've seen transmission lines that literally pass through the wind farm, or we've seen associated projects to build a transmission line for 5, 10, 15 miles to plug it into the grid. This one, that's not there, so that's where I think we'll need to flesh out those issues so it meets, it, at least we consider the third criteria about how they're going to ensure continued system reliability.
And one other kind of distinction, at least in my time frame, that while there are some wind farms on the eastern half of the state, in these last 3.5 years, I think all the wind farms have been on the west half, or certainly the west 60% of the state, and this one's just east of Valley City. So in at least recent times, we're talking 3, 4, 5 years, this is the first one on that side of the state.
The other somewhat piece of clarification, this is a 300 megawatt just in one project, but there is a wind farm west of Bismarck that is nearly 600 megawatts combined, but it was sited in 4 different stages. So I think that, you know, while it might feel different from a regulatory and a permitting standpoint because they're coming all at once, from an actual functional standpoint or from impact in terms of site and visual impact, it probably isn't going to be super noticeable for those who have seen that wind farm in terms of just its size.
Is wind energy becoming more of a part of the state's energy source?
I just saw some recent statistics that show that 18% of the energy that's generated and sold in North Dakota is from wind, so it's grown dramatically in the last 10 years, up from like zero. So, yeah, it's been a significant increase, and it really is a telling component of North Dakota's all of the above energy strategy. We've got fossil fuels, and we've got really strong renewable resources in North Dakota, and the state has been very open and aggressive in developing all of those resources.
I'd say the future, to add on to what Commissioner Fedorchuk's saying, is that the future for wind right now is pretty big, because you look at North Dakota has the capacity factor of over 50% for most of our wind farms, and you look at the states in our area, they don't have that capacity factor. So when other states look at potentially adding their wind mix, they're going to look at maybe having projects in North Dakota that move it to the grid to meet their state's needs. So that's where some of the criteria of making sure we do the deeming the application complete is laid out, because I think we're going to see a lot more wind development. I've seen some studies out there that could put us up to 5,000 megawatts of wind in the future. And so even as good as wind is, it doesn't blow all the time. So that balance of grid reliability, I think, is going to become a bigger issue. Where in the beginning, when we had our first few megawatts of wind, I don't think it was something that we were really too worried about. But when you get to what Julie is saying, 18%, there's a tipping point in there where I think you can affect the reliability of the grid, and we just have to make sure we don't get too carried away with one form over the other.
Thanks, all right, Paul. Thank you. Okay, then we will go back to the next item on the agenda. Okay, so the legal authority for closing this meeting is North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4404, including NDCC 4404, 19.1, and 19.2. The purpose of this executive session is for attorney consultation regarding the pending administrative litigation. At this time, I move the Commission convene an executive session for attorney consultation and Public Service Commission FERC RP15-1022, Alliance Pipeline PSC comments/interventions, case number PU-15-788.
Second.
Motion and a second. I'll proceed with a roll call vote. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Aye.
Commissioner Christman.
Aye.
Commissioner Kalk.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay. This executive session will be recorded, and all members of the Commission are reminded to limit their discussion during the executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the Commission must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting, unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to our attorney or negotiator. We'll now ask members of the public who are attending the work session to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session and reconvening the open portion of the work session at approximately 10 o'clock. The minutes will show that the executive session began at 9:25 and was attended by myself, Commissioner Julie Fedorchak, Commissioner Randy Chrisman, Commissioner Brian Kulk, Executive Secretary Daryl Nitschke. Julie, are you staying? Esther Jangula and Jack Hsu, our attorney. At this point, we'd ask the members of the public to leave the room.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.